Some of the things that new life is the body of believers and the body of people that meet here on a Sunday. Sometimes we meet in a life group different days of the week, but that's the body. New life is the body. You don't go, again, this, let me remind us, we don't go to church. The church goes to the building. Okay, that's one of my big things. This is the building. People will say, I said, I'll meet you at the building. And they said, do you mean the church? I said, no, I mean the building. Hey, when we get there, the church will be there. But we're going to meet each other at the building. So I've always referred to this structure as the building and always referred to you as the church. Me as well. We're the church. We are the ones that God is going to build up and to become a dwelling place of God, to offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's us. Inside of that body of believers, we take care of one another. It's scriptural that we need to make sure we take care of one another. When we do that, part of that, we call it benevolence. If you've ever, that's benevolence. And benevolence, the definition of benevolence is this. It is performing good or charitable acts and not seeking to make a profit. That's really the dictionary definition of benevolence. But it's really, it's this righteous or this motivated by love to take care of one another, to help one another in the very physical world. Now, benevolence is in the very physical world, that we care for one another, that it matters if one of the body is struggling with something physical, not just a physical health, but physically in their life. And New Life has always been very, very active in the benevolent realm. I have been asked before, what is your advertising budget? And I said, truthfully, it depends on if the family down the road needs fuel oil. If I have $500 and you want me to advertise for $500 or put fuel oil in a tank for $500, my advertising budget is zero then. I am not going to advertise when there's families in need. I'll let God take care of the advertisement. He has motivated us to take care of the needs of people, of each other. First and foremost, we see in the scripture of each other. And we've been active in that with fuel oil or firewood or food or utility bills and funeral expenses and vehicle repairs and so forth and so on. We've watched God do a mighty work through the benevolent fingers of the body of New Life. Not expecting to make a profit. That's not what we're here. We don't invest, and hopefully we can turn this $5 into $7.50. That's not what we're doing. We're taking care of the body. But one of the things that we probably have done the most over the years is put fuel in someone's gas tank, in their vehicles, to make sure they could do what they need to do. We have given away gas cards by the bushel baskets. We've done that because people need to get from point A to point B, and their horse is lame, so to speak. And we need to get fuel into their tank. We have watched people need to get back and forth to Pittsburgh or back and forth to Hershey. And I can't take the treatment for them, but we can make sure they got gas in the tank so they're not wondering if they're going to run out on the way there or on the way back. And we over and over, people need to get to work, and people need to go see family, and people need to travel around. Over and over and over and over, we have put fuel in literally probably hundreds of gas tanks over the years of New Life. And that has been done through gas cards. That has been done to pulling cash out of my pocket and giving it to someone so they can get gas in their tank. That has been done. I literally have taken my card out of my pocket and said, I'm going to give you a four-digit number. Once you get gas, you need to forget this four-digit number. And I hand them my card, and I give them my four-digit number. And I said, go fill up your tank and bring it back to me. And then I hold this little pen up in front of them, and I said, now you're going to forget the number. You know, if you don't know, if you've never watched The Men in Black, you missed that one probably. We have sent people there. We have met them at gas stations. I've had some of the greatest prayer time at gas stations, praying with people, praying for their heartache. That could be, the piece of that could be solved by gas in their tank. But you know, one thing I've never been able to do is get gas in someone's tank without the car being present. And I said, man, if I could just do that. I've done it. I just met them there. I just went to their house and poured it out of a can. I can do that without them there, but I can't do that there without the car there. I've always had to have the car. We've always had to have the car present near the gas so we could fill it up. Now, in the gas station world, that makes perfect sense. That you can't get gas in a car. You can't get fuel in a car unless the car is present. But I'm not sure that's all that. I'm not sure that's true for God's world. That we can fill up each other's tank and other people's tanks, life tanks, without them being present. From our prayer rooms, I believe. From our prayer rooms, we can fill up some other person's tank. Whether they're there or not, we can still fill up their tanks. And that's my argument today, that you don't have to be where they're at to pray and to cry out and ask God to fill them up, because they need to get somewhere. They need to do something. And they got no fuel to get it done. And we as the body, we as the church can pray from our prayer rooms. We can pray and God will fill another person's tank. Let me make that argument a little more clear, hopefully this morning. In 2 Corinthians 1, we ended with this verse last week and says, indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And we ended with the anointing. You want to leave here with the anointing. We ended with turn our eyes upon Jesus. We ended with these hardships are not going away, but God isn't either. But look at the very next verse. He, God, has delivered us from such deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope, and that we will continue, that He will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on behalf of our gracious favor granted to us in answer to the prayers of many. You know what's happening there? Paul is able to do what he's doing because someone else is praying. He's not there. They're not there with Paul. But somehow they are filling his tank. Somehow they are breathing into him from a distance. Somehow they are breathing into him from their prayer closets, and it's making a difference. God is making a difference in their life. But look what he said. He said, and as you help us along by your prayers, as you help us along by your prayers, as you pray, as you pray, as you pray. And I want to set forth this morning that you and I can no matter where the person is, we can fill their life tank with what God wants them to be filled with, that they can have the fuel that they need to make the next steps in life. And maybe they're not there with you. And maybe they won't be there with you. But you can do more than you think you can. And I don't want us to give up. And I want us to know this morning that no matter where they're at, it matters where you're at. It matters more where you're at than where they're at. It matters more than if you're in your prayer closet than where they're at. Because no matter where they're at, God is there. He doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where they're at. Where are we? Where are we on our knees saying, God, fill their tank. God, do something. God, breathe into them. They need to get to the next step, and they're empty in life. God, I'm seeking you. Fill their tank from a distance because the people need to get somewhere. Some person needs to get out of something. That person needs fuel. And perhaps they are up against those curtains of darkness and human selfishness and cockeyed culture and half-heartedness that we talked about last week. Filling someone's tank from a distance. Maybe because the person won't join you. And maybe because the person can't join you. wonder how many times my tank was filled by my wife and by my good friend Ron Fess and by Lisa. Over the years when I was running from God, how many times did they spend on their knees and God was doing something in my life? I didn't even know what he was doing. But because somebody was breathing into the throne room of God and asking God to dump something into my life, it was happening over and over and over and over again. Don't give up. You're more powerful than what you think you are. Paul said, I'd have never got through it if I had not been helped by your prayers. I breathed into you. Look at it says in Matthew. You can look at it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is telling his disciples, you have access to the heavenlies. You have access to heaven. And you can ask for that heaven to be released into someone's life, to be released on this earth. You got the ability. You got the clearance. It's not above your pay scale to ask for heaven to be released into heaven, into earth. You have the right to do that. Now you don't walk in there with a cocky spirit. But you have the authority and the privilege and the right to walk into the throne room of God and ask for heaven to be released onto earth. Look what he says in Ezekiel. He said, I looked, and this is God, I looked for a man among them who would build a wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the nation so they would not have to destroy them. And I found none. Nobody was in the prayer closet. Nobody would stand in the gap. Nobody would crack open the heavens and say, God, pour it out on them. Pour it out on this person. You know, one group of people I want to meet when I get into heaven, way far secondary to Jesus. And okay, it'll be good to see Grandpa again. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but just work with me here. But you know who I really want to meet? Daniel's mom and dad. Where a 16-year-old can go to a heathen nation, a hedonistic nation, a nation run by the flesh. Where a 16-year-old could go there and stand strong for God. I want to know where his mom and dad were. I want to know what his mom and dad were doing. I want to know what they were crying out for day in and day out because they didn't know what was happening in their son's life. And it didn't even matter if they knew. God knew, and they knew that God knew, and they're asking God to release heaven into his life. Woo, that's pretty good stuff. And God says, as a matter of fact, I'm looking for someone to do that. I'm looking for someone to do it. Will you do it? Who will volunteer? Who will ask for that to be done? Look what he says in this 1 Timothy. I urge you then, first of all, that requests and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone. I'm asking you to make an intercession or stand in the gap for someone. New Testament, stand in the gap. Not just Old Testament Ezekiel, New Testament Timothy. I'm asking for someone who will intercede for someone else. You know what intercede means? Someone who will stand between heaven and this person, between God and this person, and ask God to release into this person's life because this person's not asking for it. Whew. In Ephesians, it says this, and pray in the Spirit and on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. Ask. There's prayer in the land. But I wonder if I don't know how I handle prayer. And I don't know if I'm handling it as powerful as God says it is. I mean, Jesus thought it was important enough to set his disciples down and do some very practical teaching. And he starts out with, heaven comes to earth. It's not fold your hands and zip your lips and close your eyes. You know that, and I'm not against that either. You know why I do that? Because I can't sit still if my eyes are open. It has nothing to do with God's attention on me. It's everything to do with my attention on God. And secondly, and you know this, and I've testified this before, secondly, because when my eyes are closed, I see more clearly than when my eyes are open. With my eyes closed, and you know this as a colorblind guy, when my eyes are closed, I can see red that I can't see with my eyes open. So God shows me things in his presence that I don't see with my eyes open. But he starts out with this, that you would call heaven down from earth, down to earth. Matthew 5 says this, right? But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You ever stand in a gap for those person that persecutes you? He's asking for people to do that. Look what in Acts 5, 12, 5 says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And you know what happened in that story? An angel showed up and freed Peter from prison. Are you with me? The church was praying. The church was asking for heaven to be released on earth. They weren't with Peter. And it didn't matter. They were asking for God to do something mighty in his life. In John 11, we see Jesus says this, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Well, I always know that you hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And he simply turns and he says, Lazarus, come out. Now, just so you know, Lazarus wasn't part of that prayer meeting. Because as his sister says, by now he stinketh. Okay? So he's been dead 4 days. They didn't go and but Jesus was from in agreement with the Father, was calling something down from heaven that the Father said, I have released that to you. You can call that down and I will put it in Lazarus. And you will fill his tank. And his tank will come alive. Will you stand in the gap for him, Jesus? And Jesus simply said, perhaps the shortest prayer in the Bible, Lazarus, come forth. Boom! Download from God. Boom! He was alive. I mean, wow. It says in Ephesians 3:12, it says, in Jesus and through faith in Jesus, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. Just you and God in the Holy of Holies. Just you and God in the very presence of God. And I know some of you have been praying for years and years and years and years. And I'm saying, keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. Because you have the right to pray. You have the right to release this authority and to release this provision from heaven into someone else's life. And not only that, God's looking for someone who will stand in the gap for someone else. Just you and God in the very presence of another, in the very presence of God on another person's behalf. Let me just give you one verse today to pray this verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just so you know, that's 31 words. And I'm going to challenge us, and I want us, no matter where that person is, that we will look to the God of hope. You know what hope means? This confident expectation. This expectation, this divine expectation, the expectation of the good. God is the owner, the manufacturer, and the dispenser of hope. And you are going to look at him. And this is where I was reminded this week. Get your eyes off the situation and get your eyes on God. Look at the God of hope. Are you with me this morning? Look at the God of hope. The God of expectation, the God of expectation of something good. Start looking at him when you're praying and you're asking. I'm talking this morning, not necessarily only for yourself, and you can pray, and there's other prayers, and we can talk about that. I'm talking about filling someone else's tank from a distance. That's what I'm talking about. A Paul-type prayer where the church was praying for him, and he was having victory over here, and the church was over here, and he was having victory over here, and the church didn't even know what was happening, but they were crying out to God, but he was having victory after victory after victory over here, and then he realizes that's because they were asking for heaven to be released into my life. Woo. When we pray, look toward God, not toward our situation. and ask God to fill. God is not a stingy God. I'm learning that. God is not a stingy God. He'll pour out and he'll fill you. And you know what the word fill there means? Stuff, cram, furnish, and supply. And satisfy. I want to stuff them up, God. Cram them full, God. Cram them full, God. I'm looking at you, God. I'm looking at your glorious riches. I'm looking at you, God. I know they got a situation, but if I look at their situation, if I look at that situation, I will get down in the mouth. I'm looking at you, God. Cram them full, God. Satisfy them, God. Lift them up, God. Fill their tank, God. Pour it into them, God. I want them to have what you want them to have for them. I want you to cram them full. I want you to cram my husband full. I want you to cram my wife full. I want you to cram my child full. I want you to cram my grandchildren full, and my friends and my neighbors and my parents and my grandparents. Cram them full, God. I'm standing in the gap, God, and I'm looking at you, God, but I want you looking at them, God, and I want you to pour it out in them, and I want you to fill them up, God. Cram them full. Am I making sense this morning? Good, because I'm about ready to need oxygen up here. I feel like a lineman that picked up the ball, a fumbled ball. You know what they got to hate the most? When they pick up a fumble and it's on the other guy's 10-yard line, and they got to run at 90 yards. And cram them full, God. And he says this, may the God of hope fill you. May the God of hope fill my son. May the God of hope fill my grandson. May the God of hope fill my wife. May the God of hope fill you. May the God of hope fill my son-in-law. May the God of hope fill this individual. May the God of hope fill my neighbor. May the God of hope fill my mom. May the God of hope fill my best friend. May the God of hope fill my coworker. May the God of hope fill my enemy. God, fill them up, God. God, fill them up, because if I look at them, all of a sudden I just see them as an enemy. But when I look at you, God, the God of hope, I start to ask you to fill them up, God. Do a work in their life, God. Woo, fill them up, God, with all joy, he says, with all joy. I want them to have joy. The weaker word translated in the Bible is translated gladness. It's more than gladness. It's not just the ability to smile. It's a chemical download from God. And it has nothing to do with the situation changes or not. Gladness is dependent sometimes on our situation. Joy is not dependent upon our situation. So, God, I'm not even asking that their situation changes yet. I'm just asking that you fill them with joy, that you have this chemical download into their hearts and into their lives. This joy, this delight, this level of delight happens because there's not of the hardship or the challenges removed, but because God's downloading something into them. A download from God is being asked for by another person. Oh, God's going to do what God's going to do. Will you please stick that statement, write it on a piece of toilet paper, and go where toilet paper needs to go? Because God's not going to always do what he's going to do. That's the providence of God. We can have a theological discussion about that. But there is a place in heaven where God says, you didn't ask and I didn't do. Because I told you to ask and you didn't do it. And you wouldn't stand in the gap. I looked for a person to stand in the gap, and I found none. And then you blame me, God says. Download some joy into them, God. And Nehemiah 8:10 says this, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So that joy, all of a sudden, it's not just making them smile. All of a sudden, it's building them with strength. Something's happening inside of them. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And that's the same word. He will release joy over you as he sings over you. God, sing over him. Sing over my neighbor, God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace This peace in the Bible is not just the absence. It actually means shalom, or in wholeness, or completeness, or well-being. It's filling up the holes in their life. Fill them with peace, God. I wonder if we give definitions to, we talked about this on Wednesday night. I wonder if we give definitions to conditions that arise from the lack of peace. And all of a sudden when I say I'm anxious, and really what you're lacking is God's composure to be flooded into you. You can push the button. What happens when we say I'm afraid? God, just pour out your peace, pour out your courage into them, level them up with courage. They got a crack in their courage and it's leaking out. God, can you fill their courage? Because fear is going to be all over them. God, they're foolish. But they're sound. They need sound judgment, God. I'm asking you to give them the sound judgment, to fill up their hearts with sound judgment. I'm asking God not to remove the hate that's in them, around them. Just fill it up with love. Because if you can't just remove hate, you got to fill it up with love. And love will displace hate. Are you with me? Love displaces. You got to stop hating. You can't stop hating until you start loving. And you can't stop being foolish until you're full of sound judgment. And you can't stop fear until you're full of courage. That's what peace means. Pour it in and fill them up, God, with what they're lacking. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him. God, I want them to trust you. They've never trusted you before in their life, and I want them to trust you. God, help them trust you. Fill them up with your message, God. For God so loved the world, God. I want them to know that, God, that you sent your only Son, God, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. I want them to trust that, God. I want them to trust your love. You see what's happening here? Paul is praying this for the church, and he's asking God from a distance to fill these people up, and to fill the people up that he can't be in their presence, but he's in his prayer closet. God, I want them to know joy. I want them to know peace. And I want them to trust you, God. I want them to trust that you love them, God. I want you to trust that you sent your Son, God. I want you to trust them to trust that you don't want them to perish, but you want them to have eternal life, God. I want them to trust, God, that you did not send your Son into this world to point fingers at them, but you sent your Son into this world to save them. I want them to trust that, God. I want them to trust that you're the Savior. You can push the button. You can push the Savior. I want them to trust that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to pour it into you, Son. From your dad's prayer closet, I just want Kyle to be filled up with the knowledge and the understanding that God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you'll never look anywhere else for leadership in your life. From your dad's prayer closet to you. And I want you to trust. I want you to trust that He's the miracle worker. I want you to build that trust. God, can you help them understand that you're the miracle worker, God? Can you help them understand that you're the light of the world, God, and that you are the way, the truth, and that you are the resurrection? I'm going to pray that and speak that into your life, but I don't want to pray from my prayer closet into your life. You know what's really cool about the resurrection being the resurrection? You can take any situation, it doesn't matter what it looks like, and you can bring life to it. I want you to trust that He's the fuel for your walk, the true vine, the hope for a world in despair. I want them to trust, God, that you are the wisdom and the power of God. I want them to trust that you are the one who sets free, God, that they'll stop trying to do other things their own way, but they will realize, God, I want them to trust you, God. I don't know what else you're going to do, God, and I don't know what's going on, and I can't be with them, or they won't be with me, but I'm in my prayer closet, and I'm calling down heaven, and I want them to trust you, God. And I want them to be filled with peace. And I want them to be filled with joy. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Overflowed with hope, this expectation. You can't keep a guy down when he's full of hope. Impossible. You fill someone full of hope, and they'll see a brighter tomorrow. No hope, they'll get stuck. Somebody asked me, they say, hey, can we have a bio for you? And I sent them some stuff. I said, I really don't know what you want. And I ended it with this. I'm drawn to stuck people. And God's going to unstick people because you and I spend time in our prayer closets asking Romans 15:13 into their life. Start praying today. Start watching God do something in someone else's life, and you're not even with them. Are you with me today? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? And nothing on this earth can stop it. Because the same power that conquered the grave lives in you. That's good stuff. How about a new life? Not even a full page to end with. Stand with me today. Father, I think and I know, and you have showed me even this week, that there's more power. I'm getting the feeling that there is as much or more power being released from the prayer rooms as there from any other room that the church will spend time in. So Father, help us today to know that we have the ability, and not only that, but you're asking for us to step in and be intercessors. And Father, I got to get my eyes off the situation and get it unto a God of hope. So let me turn my head and look up. Let me stand in the gap and let me ask you to work in this person's life. Work in my wife, my husband. And relentlessly cry out to you. That you will fill them up, God. Their tank is empty. They don't know which way to go. So, Father, fill them up. Fill us up so that we can fill them up as we ask you. Father, here we go. There's prayer in the land. Help us to engage in that prayer. Help us to be men and women who, if we're driving down the road or if we're in a closet somewhere, we'll spend time asking you to pour it into another person and watch what you'll do. Father, I thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.